There's still no end in sight to the standoff in Lima, Peru, despite last night's dramatic release of 225 hostages. The leftist rebels who took over the Japanese ambassador's residence nearly a week ago are still holding about 140 people, most of them Peruvian and Japanese VIPs. And the guerrillas are still pressing for the release of imprisoned comrades, a demand the Peruvian government continues to reject. Meanwhile, those hostages let go last night enjoyed their first day of freedom after 5 days of fear and uncertainty. From Lima, John Miller reports.
Augusto Fukuzawa Runsie Tanaka, David Grinfin, Christian Fajardo.
Speaking through a megaphone, a Red Cross official read out the names of those released last night as the newly freed hostages, professors, writers, diplomats, businessmen, filed out of the grand entrance of the ambassador's residence and into waiting buses. Haggard but visibly happy, they waved and smiled at hundreds of family members and well-wishers, then rode off for mandatory medical checkups and a handshake from President Alberto Fujimori. Since their release, the hostages have been telling their stories, how the bathrooms were shared by 80 people, how the nighttime sound of snoring was as loud as the animated political conversations they held with their captors during the day. Hubert Zanstra is a Canadian agronomist who heads the International Potato Center in Lima. He says the worst part of the ordeal was the fear.
Fears that the family might see things a lot worse than they really were, and that was one. Fears that the military would misread the situation and do something that would blow the whole thing sky high. And fears that you would be called up for mistreatment or, well, they were threatening with calling up people to be shot. So
Zanstra describes the rebels as surprisingly well-spoken, always polite, people whose main concern seemed to be finding a way to put themselves on Peru's political map. The group's leader, Nestor Serpa, spoke often about his concern for the plight of his comrades in jail. While officials have been characterizing Serpa as a vicious killer, Zanstra and many of his fellow hostages say they were impressed with his grasp of economics and politics. But they say it was impossible to ignore the fact that the rebels were heavily armed and seemed willing to use their weapons.
We're impressed with their preparation, capability, organization, and professionalism, but they can do anything. And they know it, and they're prepared to do it. So they are very dangerous.
Containing that danger is one of the main concerns of the Peruvian government. The rebels still hold an impressive group of hostages, police and army generals, the Peruvian foreign minister, the president of Peru's Supreme Court, high-level diplomats, and more than 30 Japanese, including top executives from some of Japan's largest corporations. Peruvian officials have been meeting today to discuss possible ways out of the crisis, ways that wouldn't involve giving in to the main rebel demand, which is the release of some 300 of the movement's members from jail. A Peruvian congressman said today that the government might consider allowing the rebels, whose movement is inspired by Cuban communism, to go to Cuba. Cuba has not confirmed reports that it is willing to offer asylum to the guerrillas, but the Cuban ambassador, who was one of the hostages released last night, had reportedly offered earlier to help in any negotiations. For President Fujimori, one challenge is simply keeping his word. On Saturday, in his one public statement since the crisis began, he announced that he would not negotiate with the rebels unless they lay down their weapons and release all the hostages. Everyone agrees that a military attack on the residents would be disastrous. Today, many people in Lima are simply hoping that the rebels might relent in the spirit of Christmas. For National Public Radio, I'm John Miller in Lima.